just ask your customers to help you. I think most people don't do it. You got to just have the courage to ask for a case study, ask for a review, ask for a testimonial, and don't, you know, just, you know, create that as a part of the culture of, you know, every layer of your business. And you'd be surprised how many, if you're a good company and you're actually genuinely providing value, you'd be surprised how many people say yes.
Hey everyone, this is Scott, and thanks so much for downloading the latest episode of The Scott King Show, where I talk with sales and marketing leaders from all over the world on how they're building their brands and growing their businesses. And today on the show, I've got Jay Gibb, and Jay is the CEO over at CloudSponge. Jay, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scott.
Hope you're doing well over in your part of the world. Where are you these days?
Pasadena, California today.
Oh, lovely, lovely. What's the weather like over there?
It's delightfully rainy. Has been raining for about a week now. So I'm loving it.
All right. Well, it sounds like, you know, maybe you need a sponge to dry up and absorb all that rain. No pun intended. But what exactly is CloudSponge? What are you guys doing over there?
CloudSponge is a software as a service company that sells software that you install on your website. And what it does is it allows your users to access and select and share contacts from their address books without leaving your website. So typically that's useful for creating recipient lists for things like referral forms or e-cards or fundraising campaigns where you don't want to lose your user's focus to go to a different tab or a different window to copy and paste email addresses or go to a spreadsheet to create a big list. If you want to keep them engaged and on your website, then CloudSponge is the tool that lets you do that.
Yeah, that is interesting that you say keep them on your website, because, you know, a lot of integration of let's say contact lists or friends is done via Facebook. You know, how do you guys compete with the idea that I'll just use Facebook for everything?
Well, the use cases are generally where, you know, our customers want to have email addresses. Facebook keeps all that stuff pretty private. You can't access your friends' email addresses on Facebook at all. And so, you know, address books are where you keep email addresses of the people that you know. And so we don't really find that it's a competitive thing with Facebook. Like the people that come searching for CloudSponge are searching for access to things like Google contacts, Yahoo Mail contacts, Outlook.com contacts, iCloud contacts, et cetera. And they're not thinking about it in terms of social sharing.
Okay. That's interesting. What's the typical website? Who's your typical customer? And, you know, what challenge are they trying to overcome for their customers? Since you're contacting third-party sites, I'm curious kind of what the evolution of the need is. Because, I mean, what I'm envisioning is like a Evite, like I'm having a party or a wedding, and I need to email a bunch of people that may or not be on my social platforms. Is that kind of the use case?
Yeah, that's exactly it, right? You know, so example customer of ours, you know, just to go with where you started there with Evite, is a company called Punchbowl, right? Punchbowl is one of the big players in the, you know, birthday party invitation space. And at the end of creating an invitation, you know, maybe it's a mom who wants to invite their kids, like, parents, you know, to send emails to their kids' parents in the classroom. A lot of times all you have is email addresses of all your kids' friends' parents, right? You're not going to be friends with those people on Facebook necessarily, right? So in those situations, you know, you can go into your address book and just suck them all out of your address book using CloudSponge.
And then what, as you guys seek to gain new customers in, you know, get your software installed into other sites, you know, what are some of the challenges that your sales and marketing team is trying to overcome? And like, what I'm looking for is ultimately, you know, what you've tried that didn't work and what you've tried that did. Is there anything on the top of your head, like, that really worked well? And then when you tell me how great you are, I'm going to ask you, hey, what didn't work, right? Well, like, what caused a fire?
Yeah, I mean, the list of things that didn't work is pretty long, I think, as it is for most, you know, sort of experimenting entrepreneurs.
Is there one that you guys still talk about? Like, hey, remember that time when we tried this and it totally didn't work?
Yeah, well, I think the one that we keep on making the same mistake over and over again is with our content strategy. We're getting better at it now, but you know, we've been around for 8 years now, and I've sort of evolved from being a software developer into being an entrepreneur during that time. And so at first, you know, we did a lot of sort of throwing stuff at the wall when it came to content, you know, just keyword stuff and sort of not having good grounded foundation for why we were creating the content we were creating, and just sort of using our guts and coming up with some ideas and then writing things and putting it out there. And it just seemed like, looking back on that, there was just a lot of wasted cycles that could have been a lot more focused if we had a better strategy for it.
And then when did you come to that realization? Is it recent? Was it a long time ago?
I think I've come to the realization a couple different times. The first time was when I just sort of, enough time had passed and I looked back on our content and I just decided to delete everything because I just thought it was terrible. I was like, man, this is just garbage content. And it was hard to do because we had spent time building it and money building it. But at the end of the day, it was just time to do some spring cleaning, and we just nuked, you know, whatever, like 100 articles that were just garbage.
And you just deleted them off of your blog outright? They don't exist anymore?
Right. They're in an archive somewhere. Like, I'm sure the internet has a memory of them. But yeah, we just deleted them and just made sure that any inbound traffic that was going to those URLs was redirected to somewhere else.
Yeah. Where do they all redirect to the same place? Like, do you have one great article that you just love?
Yeah, it doesn't matter what I love, right? It's what our customers seem to love. We have a couple, we have a content type right now that we've invested in called Teardowns that people really love. And we have, basically because of the nature of our customers, most of the time they're already aware that they have this problem and they're just looking for a solution. And so we have the luxury of knowing if you're somebody who's looking for this solution, we know exactly what you're going to be Googling, right? And so we have a few articles on our website that get the vast majority of our organic inbound traffic. And they're always around Google contacts and sort of the different address book providers that we're integrated with. We know that people are going to be searching for those keywords. And so those articles tend to get, provide a lot of value and get a lot of traffic for us.
Yeah. Cause, you're not dealing with a lot of address book providers, right? How to integrate with Gmail, how to integrate with Outlook, how to integrate with, Mac address book or whatever. Well, that's cool. So of all the content, you know, you found some poor content, stuff that you didn't like. You said that you nuked it, and that, you know, maybe it's somewhere out there. What's like the ultimate piece of content that you guys are looking for?
Ultimate piece of content is a case study. So, you know, the way that I visualize it and I sort of help my team visualize it is kind of like a bullseye where, you know, at the center of the target is the bullseye, which is a case study. And the reason why that's at the center is because, you know, not only is this a person or a company that is like paying us happily and getting value from our product, but they're also, you know, motivated to actually help us with a case study, right? Which is great. It's sort of the best of everything. It's better than a testimonial. It's better than a review. But it's, you know, it's hard to get. And so for me, the center of the bullseye the center of the target is a case study. And then sort of the next best thing, if we can't get a case study, is something that we call a teardown, which is kind of like a case study that doesn't involve the participation of the customer, but we can go and sort of create, we do it in the form of a video that's usually 5 to 10 minutes long, where we'll like tear down the user experience that one of our favorite customers has created, where our product is in there somewhere. The content's not just about our product. It's about sort of the entire user experience that surrounds like an e-card creation process or a referral program reward system or whatever it is that we're sort of in the middle of. And so those, you know, that's kind of the next one. And then from there, we're able to use all the things that we learned from those case studies, such as like the problems they had before they started looking for Cloud Sponge and the anxieties they had around, you know, whatever it is that we solved for them, as well as the user interface features that we discovered during the teardowns. Then those are, that becomes our inspiration for the outside of the target, which is, you know, the 500 to 1500 word blog posts that are sort of universally interesting to, like, to the people that sort of are in the space that are the customers are in.
And then if the case study is the ultimate example, and I totally agree, because a case study helps, you know, helps the sales teams, helps the marketers, helps your prospective customers, you know, trust you a little bit more. Do you have a formula or kind of a method to get a case study? And, you know, and how mature is this customer on your product? Is it, you know, new customer? Is it, you know, old friend that has had multiple versions of your product? You know, kind of, do you have an easy way to guide us to get a case study? I guess that's my question.
I don't think there's a silver bullet. I think one of the things that most people don't do is ask, right? Like, a lot of people, I think, assume that it's a big ask, and so they just don't do it. But we just ask all the time. We ask anytime we have a really positive experience with a customer, like we've just upgraded their subscription to a higher pricing plan and they're happy to pay a higher price, or maybe it's a nonprofit company that we just gave a 50% discount to, or, you know, anytime we have one of those interactions where everybody is happy, we just ask every time. We just make sure we always say, hey, by the way, and we have obviously templates in our CRM to be able to ask, but we'll say, hey, by the way, like, we always invest in case studies. They only take about 30 minutes. We record an interview with you, and we give you an approval process before we publish anything, and we'll make sure to give you some, you know, some link to some, you know, a backlink to your website from our website, which has the following domain authority. We sort of like make sure that they understand that this is good for them too, and it's not just a favor that they're doing for us. And, you know, not everybody wants to do one. Not everybody agrees to do one, but enough do. Like, there, you know, with, you know, we've got thousands of customers. And so if we do that, you know, 10 or 20 times a month, we're going to get one or two people that say, yeah, absolutely, I'd love to do that for you guys.
Yeah, that's it's interesting on, you know, the value proposition back to the customer, because I can imagine one of my B2B customers and then me explaining that a link back is a benefit to them. They would not know what that means, right? So that would not be a perceived benefit. But, you know, I would have to have my own list of benefits. But, you know, it's really, really tough in these large companies to get a case study, the ones, you know, insurance companies, banks and the like. They've got huge corporate communication teams that, you know, that control the brand, control the messaging, control what you say about, you know, where you work. You know, even as simple as, you know, being on a podcast someday, you know, they'd have to get that reviewed. But with your product, you know, with your product and your customer, the, you know, kind of the web juice, like you said, is a good way to do it. And then, okay, there's no silver bullet, and I know, and I love that you said it's the bullseye, you know, of the content piece, because I agree. But I'm interested in the teardown. You said that you do 5 to 10 minute videos of UI case studies. Do you show the user's site and how horrible it is? And if you do, what do they say once they find it?
Most of them are great. We curate the ones that we respect and that we like a lot. So the idea is not to berate anybody or to do anything negative. The idea is, you know, like for example, we've got, you know, one of our teardowns is for an e-card company called Greenvelope. And we just really love the way that their product works. If you're going to make an e-card, like, it's a good choice as far as all the, you know, there's 200 different places on the internet where you could go make an e-card and send it. And these are one of our customers that we really like, right? So we said, look, let's go tear down Greenvelope. And so we had, you know, our UX expert at CloudSponge basically start recording herself creating an e-card and sending it and looking at all the emails that she received, you know, during the process, and sort of fully unpacking the user experience, not just the user interface, but the user experience for going end to end on creating an e-card. And the idea behind that is that I want to be able to sell CloudSponge to other e-card companies, and the product managers for those companies would probably benefit from having, from watching a 5-minute video of another company that we think is doing things right. And so we've done that, you know, with our different segments. We've done that, you know, in the e-commerce area. We did that with Just Fab and with Stitch Fix and some other CloudSponge customers. And so we kind of choose each of our different segments or different use cases and make sure we tear down all of them sort of systematically. And we find that it works, that people that we want to sell to love that content, because we're giving them sort of a cheat sheet into something that's going to make them look good to their boss, or that's going to make them sort of take some optimized shortcuts for, you know, not making some mistakes on the way that they would design their user experience, right?
It's a really good way to do that. And, you know, video is the best, because everyone will sit there and watch a video, because you can kind of do it while, you know, you eat a sandwich, or, you know, you watch it on your smartphone, wherever you are. So it's a really good way. And, you know, it's a concrete example. It's not made up. So, so I really like that. Maybe I'll do that in the future. I like that idea. But it's a really good idea. And I'm always looking for interesting, you know, other inputs for different ideas. And curious, Jay, what do you listen to, or read or watch? You know, what do you pay attention to remain inspired, right? So where do you look for your inspiration, outside of what you're doing over at CloudSponge?
You mean professionally, right?
Either, right? So, I mean, I listen to a lot of other podcasts, right? Because I'm just trying to absorb information easily, right? If I'm in the car, I listen to a podcast. Just kind of curious if there's a certain blog, podcast, book that you've read lately that, you know, helps you stay on top of your game.
Yeah, I listen to podcasts too, especially since I discovered Castro, which is like by far the best podcast player app I've ever seen. It's incredibly good. It makes it so much easier for me. And so my favorite for this kind of stuff right now is probably, you know, I've always been a fan of Startups for the Rest of Us, which is by Rob Walling. And I like the Drift podcast. Seeking Wisdom is really good as well. Those are probably two of my favorites that I get inspired from, and people that I just feel like are talking to me.
Yeah, I think the guys at Drift just started their podcast, right? I think his name's Dave, is the VP of marketing. I see him on LinkedIn, and he just started doing all these videos. So I assumed he started the podcast about the same time.
No, I don't really know. I feel like I've been listening to Seeking Wisdom for quite a long time though.
Okay.
Over a year for sure.
Okay.
It's been around for a while. And there's a new one that I just listened to the first episode, I think it was yesterday, and this is one of those situations where it's just a company that I really like. And I'm like, oh, let's see what this company is putting out. It's a company called Segment that does like analytics pipeline. And they have a new podcast. It's called Fix That For You, like FTFY. And it so far, like the first episode was fascinating. It's kind of about big data and using big data to solve real problems. So I really enjoyed it.
Huh. Interesting. I'll definitely check that out. I like FTFY because it's kind of like if this, then that. So that's cool. And then, Jay, if you didn't have any responsibilities at home or work next week and it wasn't raining, what would you do with your time?
Oh, man, I think I would probably golf. I think, you know, golf is one of those things I find myself daydreaming about pretty often. I've got three little kids. I have three kids under six right now. And so I don't get to do that. I've probably golfed twice in the last 3 years. But yeah, if I had all the time in the world, I think I'd probably golf.
Well, you need to carve out some time for some golf. You need to take a customer out and interview them on the golf course for a case study, right? So then you kind of kill two balls with one stone, or that doesn't really work. There's a birdie involved. How about that?
Two balls with one putter?
Yeah. You're playing miniature golf with your three little kids. Now, Jay, if anybody had a question for you based on whatever they heard about today, they wanted to get some more insight on, you know, content, case studies, and teardowns, or your product, what is your favorite way to be contacted?
You can click the little chat bubble on the cloudsponge.com website, and that'll get delegated or routed to me eventually. Or you can hit me up on LinkedIn. I've been spending a lot of time on LinkedIn lately. So I, you know, usually if you tell me that you heard the interview on Scott's podcast, then I'll most likely answer you, and you'll break through the noise of all the spammers on LinkedIn.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, the spammers kill me. Yeah, if you don't have more than 100 connections, I know that you've just stolen a picture and created a fake profile and are trying to connect with me. So that's kind of how I do that. But Jay, any closing thoughts? Anything you want to leave us with today based on anything that we talked about?
Just ask your customers to help you. I think most people don't do it. You got to just have the courage to ask for a case study, ask for a review, ask for a testimonial, and create that as a part of the culture of, you know, every layer of your business. And you'd be surprised how many, if you're a good company and you're actually genuinely providing value, you'd be surprised how many people say yes.
Love it. Hey, thanks, Jay, so much for talking with me today and speaking to my audience, and hope you have a great rest of the day.
Cool. Thanks, Scott.
Hi, and thanks for listening. This is Scott King, where it is my goal to inform you how smart marketers build their brands and grow their businesses. Please subscribe to the podcast series at thescottking.com or follow me on Twitter at @thescottking to grab the next link. If you like what you heard today, please go to iTunes and write a review. Always appreciate that. Thanks, and be sure and visit again.